Welcome to the June 21st, 2009 worship service for Christ Covenant Church. Pastor Jim McCune preaches from the text of Luke 19, verses 1 through 10, with a sermon entitled, To Seek and Save the Lost.
Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. This morning we'll be reading verses 1 through 10 of Luke 19. Page 1039 in the Bibles that are in the pews. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Congregation of Christ, this morning I'm departing from our series on Mark, which, Lord willing, we'll pick up again next week. But being away during the week at General Assembly didn't allow me to prepare a new sermon for the series. So before I left, I made plans to preach a text that I had already preached previously, but not in this congregation. And as I see some members of my former congregation visiting with us this morning, I might add, I don't think I preached it there either, according to my records anyhow. I did preach it in a nursing home in South Holland. So hopefully we'll know if that's true, although I know one of our visitors from my former congregation takes very good notes, and if I did preach it there, she'll tell me afterward. But it just seemed good after being at General Assembly this week that that was the right text to choose, because it confirmed to me what the Lord was putting on my heart during the week, God's great love for sinners and how Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I'd like to begin with a story. Once upon a time, a young boy was touring the underground caverns at Carlsbad, New Mexico, with his parents. And as he straggled behind the crowd, his curiosity got the better of him, and he climbed under a barrier and he peeked into an opening in the wall. When he saw that he could fit through quite easily, he slipped into another huge room. The light was poor, but as he looked around, he could see stalactites hanging from the roof of the cavern. It was a beautiful sight. And he lingered there for a few moments to look at those beautiful rock formations. But then the boy turned around, and he could no longer find the way by which he had come in. He went through an opening which he supposed was the one by which he had come in, but he only found himself in an even darker room. And then it hit him. He was lost. It's a terrible thing to be lost. It's frightening. And you feel so helpless. And it's even worse to know that you're lost and to think that nobody's even missed you. And no one's on the way to rescue you. One day, shortly before the time he was crucified, Jesus was traveling toward Jerusalem through the city of Jericho. Jericho was a very busy city because of its location. Caravans from the east and from the west passed through there. And the Romans who ruled the world in those days found that this was an ideal place to collect taxes. The Romans had established a system for collecting tolls and tariffs on items that were transported from one place to another. It worked something like this. A fairly wealthy person from a certain area would apply to the Romans for the position of publican or tax collector. And if he succeeded with his application, then that individual would then be responsible for paying all the taxes that were due from that region. In return, the person who was now the tax collector had the right to recoup from the people the amount of taxes that he put forward on their behalf, and even to profit from it. It was something that was a lucrative business. If someone refused to pay their taxes, the tax collector or publican had the authority to call the Roman soldiers to enforce payment. And so these tax collectors or publicans, or the Latin word is publicani, they grew rich. Now you probably already knew that the Jews hated them. But it wasn't just because they were rich that they were hated. The Jews resented paying taxes to Romans in the first place. Paying taxes to the Romans reminded them that they weren't free, but were under Gentile rule. Well, Zacchaeus, the tax collector in our story, wasn't just your ordinary tax collector. The Bible calls him a chief tax collector. And presumably that meant that he had other tax collectors working underneath him, under his supervision. Now we know Zacchaeus was Jewish rather than Roman because of his name. It's a Hebrew name and it means something like pure or righteous. But in the eyes of his fellow Jews, Zacchaeus was anything but pure and righteous. To them, he was a sinner with a capital S. You see, collecting taxes for the Romans meant that you couldn't keep the Sabbath. And working to support an unpopular government didn't win Zacchaeus any friends either. And to get rich by doing so was worse still. And since the Romans allowed tax collectors to profit on the collection of taxes, the people felt they were being fleeced. And they were. Tax collectors were known for their dishonest methods. In fact, the Jewish rabbis taught that tax collectors were so dishonest that it was almost impossible for them to repent because they could never know every person they had cheated or to whom they must make amends. Zacchaeus was disowned by his people. Any devout Jew would have nothing to do with him. He was an outcast, and he was lost. Zacchaeus was lost in a much deeper sense than only being an outcast from his people. He was lost in his relationship to the kingdom of God. Although he was a Jew by birth, and as such, had all the promises of the covenant which belonged to the children of Abraham, Zacchaeus was cut off from the blessings of God by his sin. I know that one of our life groups is reading the book by Jerry Bridges called Respectable Sins. I like that title. I think it's a helpful distinction. Some of our sins are respectable sins. In fact, we seldom face public and open condemnation for those kind of sins. But other sins are disrespectable sins. They're sins that would be openly condemned if people knew about them. Well, Zacchaeus' sin was not in the respectable category. When you read the New Testament, tax collectors are always found listed with prostitutes and quote-unquote sinners. those guilty of such disrespectable sins were considered by the religious people of that day to be so sinful that you wouldn't even want to be seen associating with them. And so Jesus' enemies, in order to condemn him, heaped on him the title of friend of prostitutes and tax collectors. And they were appalled when Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus. But there's not one of us here this morning who is not a sinner. We commit both respectable sins and disrespectable ones. Our respectable sins, we don't usually think of as sins. And our disrespectable ones, we hide from the public eye. And we condemn others if we saw those sins in them. But in the end, it doesn't really matter whether our sins are respectable or disrespectable. Those adjectives simply tell us what man thinks about our sin. But in the sight of God, the proud Pharisee is just as lost as the prostitute or the tax collector. You know, it would be much better for us to talk not of respectable and disrespectable sins and sinners, but of lost sinners and found sinners. Because no matter what the sin is we commit, the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and it's greater than any sin that we can or do commit. Now, sometimes we fail to realize how terrible a thing sin really is. We think that we can nibble at sin and enjoy its pleasures and never pay any price. But sin always exacts a terrible price from those who taste its wares. I'm told there are certain kind of ants that have a passion for the sweet glandular substance given off by the caterpillar of a large blue butterfly. In fact, they become so addicted to it that they seek out the supplier and they carry that caterpillar to their nest with delight. But when they do, they unwittingly bring home an enemy in disguise, because that particular caterpillar gorges himself exclusively on ant larvae. Usually such a threat to the colony would be repelled with vigor. But the adults enjoy their guests so much that they're oblivious to the fact that their young are being devoured in the process. You see, that's what sin does. Its taste at first is so sweet. It promises us nice things. But in the end, it makes us slaves and brings death. And once it has gained entrance, it works its destructive power in the heart. And the result is that we're consumed by it. And when you get consumed by sin, you get lost in sin. That's what had happened to Zacchaeus. He had wandered away from God. His sin had made him wealthy, but his sin had made him lost as well. On the day Jesus came to Jericho, Zacchaeus wanted to see him. So he went to the place on the street where he knew Jesus would be passing by. And as every child who has ever heard the story knows, Zacchaeus was too short to see over the crowd. So in order to be able to see Jesus when he came by, he climbed into this sycamore fig tree and he sat there perched high above the crowd. What was it that made him want to see Jesus? Well, obviously he had heard about Jesus. Was it simply curiosity? Jesus was quite an attraction. Or was it the Spirit of God stirring in Zacchaeus' heart? Whatever it was, Zacchaeus was waiting in the tree to see Jesus when he passed by. And you know the story. Jesus passed by that way. And he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. And then Jesus did something that surprised everyone who was there. He looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately, because I must stay at your house today." And you notice he didn't say, "I'd like to stay at your house today." He said, "I must stay at your house today." You see, Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus. And the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus came down from the tree and he welcomed Jesus gladly. He got more than he was looking for. He came to see Jesus, maybe out of nothing more than curiosity. But Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus. And he accompanied him to his home. The crowd was horrified to think that Jesus had gone to be the guest of a sinner. And they murmured against Jesus. How could Jesus associate with someone so dishonest and low? But you remember, this wasn't the first time people criticized Jesus for the company that he kept. They had criticized John the Baptist as well because he didn't drink wine or eat bread. He fasted a lot. They said of John, "He has a demon." And then when Jesus came eating bread and drinking wine, they said of him, "Well, he's a glutton and a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But you know, Jesus wasn't going to Zacchaeus' house so that he could learn there the fine art of being a tax collector. He wasn't going there to rake in some of the profits that Zacchaeus had made. Jesus was going to Zacchaeus' house because he was on a mission to seek and to save the lost. And that's the best news that a lost sinner can ever hear. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Sometimes I think our churches have it backwards these days. Churches for some time now have talked about having special services for seekers. And what they usually mean is that you have a kind of church service where someone who grew up outside of the church would feel comfortable in. Well, seekers, in that sense of the word, are supposed to be people who are looking for meaning and significance in their life and who are open to the possibility that God may have something to offer. But the Bible says that all of us are so lost in our sin and that we're not only unrighteous. It says none of us is righteous, but it also says none of us seek after God. The good news is that even though we were lost in our sin, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, on a mission to seek and to save what was lost. There's only one true seeker. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good shepherd who cares enough for that one sheep that went astray that he would leave the 99 safe in the fold to go out and to rescue it. And Jesus' words that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost have even more meaning when you consider that Jericho, where this took place, is on the way to Calvary. At Jericho, Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus. And at Calvary, he purchased salvation not only for Zacchaeus, but for all who put their faith in God's only Son. Zacchaeus' response shows that God was working in his heart. Without Jesus even calling on Zacchaeus to repent or to make restitution to the people he defrauded, Zacchaeus announced, "Lord, right now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anyone, I'll pay back four times the amount." God's grace in Zacchaeus' heart was made evident by his repentance. A new convert once went to his pastor and said, "Pastor, before I was saved, I stole a rope from my neighbor's barn." After reading the story of Zacchaeus, I decided I better return it. But you know what, Pastor? My neighbor still isn't reconciled to me. So the preacher noticed that the man's eyes were downcast at that. He decided he'd question him a little further and said, "Are you sure that was all you took from him?" Well, embarrassed, the man replied, "Well, I guess that's the problem. You see, I didn't bring back what was attached to the rope, the man's prized calf." You know, when God converts a sinner's heart, there's no sin that can remain in us that we don't repent of. Sin once tasted sweet, but by the grace of God, when you repent, you come to see that sin is full of the taste of death. But friends, because sin once tasted so sweet to us, and because sin still dwells in these bodies of ours, even after we come to Christ, doesn't take us long, and we may once again be tempted by that sweet and deadly taste. Just because you become a Christian and repent once doesn't mean that the struggle with sin is over. Repentance isn't a one-time thing. It's required daily, all our life long. And the church is not a community of people who no longer struggle with sin. It's a place where sinners who have been found by Jesus come together and seek the grace that flows from Him. The church must be a place where grace abounds, where we all admit that we do struggle with sin, but we have hope, because Jesus is greater than all our sins. The worst thing that the church of Jesus can do is to say to some sinner, "You know what, your sins are too bad for you to be here. Go away." People in this church just don't struggle with those kind of sins. But sad to say, there are certain sins about which the church seems to say that very thing. It's my prayer that God would make us a church full of His grace. God had worked His grace in Zacchaeus. He was now a new man, born again through the power of God. Zacchaeus no longer wanted any money that he might have obtained dishonestly. And so he offered to pay back 4 times as much as he might have taken wrongly. And besides that, he wanted to give half of what was lawfully his to the poor. Zacchaeus had been one of the lost sons of Abraham. But Jesus came. Jesus sought after him. And Jesus found and saved Zacchaeus. Congregation of Christ, Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost today. Many of you have heard the story of Zacchaeus on countless occasions before. There's still one question that needs to be answered, and that's this: has Jesus found and saved you? That's really what matters, isn't it? It doesn't matter how long you've been lost or what kind of things led to your being lost. What matters is that you've been found by Jesus and been rescued from the terrible lostness of sin. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're lost in sin, and that if you died tonight, you'd die apart from God in Christ without any hope of heaven, then there's something you should do. Call on the name of Jesus and ask Him to give you faith in Him. Ask Him for the forgiveness of all your sins. And ask for a repentant and grateful heart to serve Him all your days. The Bible promises that all who come to Jesus in this way, He will never cast away. And if you've already been found by Jesus, and you know the power of His great salvation, then our Savior invites you to join with Him in His mission to seek and to save the lost. He commands you to bear witness in your life of the great work of grace that He's begun in you. And He expects you to share His message of love with those who are still lost and apart from Him. He doesn't need you to cover up your sin or to act self-righteous. And He doesn't want you to condemn others for their sins or to drive them away. If you're going to be like Jesus, you may even find that He's calling you to have dinner in the house of a sinner or to associate with people that other Christians might condemn you for. But if you are going to follow Jesus, and if this church is going to follow Jesus, then it needs to be a place of grace where sinners can come together, those who have been found by the great shepherd of their souls, and where they can support one another as they seek to live lives of repentance for the one who bought him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray to God. Father in heaven, we thank you from the depths of our hearts that you have not let us wander in darkness away from you. We confess, Lord, that we're often confused and at loose ends. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where to turn. We've strayed a long, long way from you, and we have sinned. Please forgive us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have not abandoned us. You search for us even at the cost of your own precious blood. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Strengthen us and encourage us as we think on your great love. Thank you for the message of your word, Lord, which gives us life. May those of us who are far away from you turn to you in repentance and faith. May those of us who have already been found spread the good news to others also, so that the world may know you, the Lord of life, and that they might have life in your name. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.